And then chapter 18, we see them come to the garden, that the officers of the priests come to the garden to take Christ, and falling backwards when he says, "I am he," displaying his deity there. And then, of course, we looked at Peter, him denying the Lord, and all we can learn from that, and how God restored him and God used him. Last week, we saw the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish leaders, refused to go in when Jesus was before Pilate, lest they should be defiled, even though they had already accused an innocent man and taken him by force and punched him and mocked him. But they didn't want to go into the judgment hall lest they should be defiled. And we learn what defilement truly is. But as we continue through the chapter now, Jesus is before Pilate here in the middle of the chapter, verses 29 to 38 we're going to look at tonight. And we learn Jesus is going to reveal his reasons for coming to the earth and his primary reason for coming to the earth. So here in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 29, where we finished last week, the Bible says, "Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So to this end was I born. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and just speak to each of our hearts through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit tonight. May we learn and be changed, and may needs be met through the power of your word. And then may we have a wonderful time of prayer for one another as well later on. And so we give you our service, Lord, and may you be glorified through it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So we understand now why it was so important to the Jewish leaders that Jesus come before Pilate. Remember, he's already been before Caiaphas, the high priest. But as they said there in verse 31, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Remember, they were under Roman rule, and Roman rule was that only the Romans could put people to death. The Jews, even though they had their Old Testament law, and many of the Old Testament laws gave them permission to put people to death, they weren't allowed to by the Romans. And so their motive behind bringing Jesus before Pilate, before the Roman court, was because they wanted him killed. They wanted him executed. That was their number one goal, as we've seen over and over again. And yes, it was the Jews that pushed and had Jesus crucified. If you go to Acts chapter 5, verse 30, when Peter was preaching, he made this very clear. Acts chapter 5, verse 30, he made it clear to the Jews as he was preaching to them that it was the Jews that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 5, verse 30, Peter says here, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." He's speaking here to the Jews, and he said, "You killed Jesus Christ." And that's just one example. Many verses teach us this. But it says there in verse 32 of our passage, "which he spake, signifying what death he should die." It was prophesied even in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ would die by crucifixion. And that was the method of execution for Rome during this time. It was all part of God's plan, God's prophecy, that Jesus should die this way. And even in Psalms 22, if you want to turn there, through David, God, in his inspired word, revealed that Jesus Christ would die via crucifixion. Psalm 22, look at verse 16. Psalm 22 would be one of the most beautiful, what they call messianic psalms. There's five of them. And all through Psalms 22, we have prophecies about Jesus, mostly about his death on the cross. But specifically here in verse 16, it says, "For dogs encompassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." So 1,000 years almost before Jesus Christ, it was prophesied that his hands and his feet would be pierced. And then if you go to Zechariah, while you're in the Old Testament, chapter 13, so that's the next to the last book in the Old Testament. You got Zechariah, Malachi, and then Matthew. So go to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. Another prophecy about the crucifixion. The Bible says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? And then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Jesus Christ was a Jew, and it was the Jews that pushed for him to be crucified by the Romans. In John chapter 3, go there please, Jesus prophesied while he was beginning his ministry that his death would mean that he would be lifted up, and he points back to when Moses was told to put the brazen serpent on the pole and lift it up when the people were bitten by snakes. Notice John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So he points back to Moses putting the serpent on the pole, and he says that Jesus Christ, "I will be lifted up the same way. I will be crucified." And then Luke chapter 24, if you turn there, Jesus was very specific here in his prophecy about his death. Verse 7, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." So this was Christ talking to his disciples prior to going to Calvary and saying to them, "I will be crucified." And of course, he was crucified by the Romans, but it was the Jews that demanded it, as we see. Jesus here is revealing why he came to earth. The number one reason why Christ came to earth was to die for us. Amen? And praise God that he did. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. Titus 2:14, the Bible says, "He gave himself for us." And 1 John 3:5, it says, "He was manifested to take away our sins." Jesus Christ came to die. He came to die for our sins. But in this passage, we find at least four reasons why Christ came to earth. The primary reason, of course, was to die. But then the second reason was to be the King of the Jews. Notice in our passage, verse 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And so Jesus not only is revealing here that he came to die on the cross, but he also came to be a king. To be the king of Israel. And one day, of course, well, he always has been, but he will be declared the King of Kings during the kingdom. But if you go way back to John chapter 1, which I guess we looked at a year or more ago, verse 49, when Nathanael was reached by the Lord, look what he says, John 1:49. He answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And of course, many, many Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ, of the increase of the government, there shall be no end, in Isaiah chapter 9 and so forth. So Jesus Christ came not only to die, but he came to be a king. And that's why when Christ started preaching, if you go back to our passage, verse 36 of John 18, he answered, My kingdom is not of this world. Remember, when Jesus started preaching, the first thing he preached was, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was speaking to Jews, preaching to Jews, and he was offering them the kingdom. He came to say, I'm the king of Israel, and I am offering you the kingdom that Israel has been waiting for centuries, that Israel was promised primarily to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm here to offer you the kingdom because I'm the king. And of course, if Israel would have repented and accepted him as their king and their Messiah, the offer was genuine. But then through constant rejection, Jesus eventually withdrew the offer and went to Calvary, and now their kingdom is still on hold until after the tribulation when Jesus returns to give them this kingdom they've been waiting for. So he primarily came to die. Secondly, he came to be the king and to offer the kingdom to Israel. But also, thirdly, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So Jesus Christ not only came to die and to offer the kingdom as the king of Israel, but he also came to bear witness to the truth, to give us the truth. Hallelujah for that. I'll go back to John 1:17. You'll probably remember this great truth here, this dispensational statement in John 1:17. But the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, through Calvary, brought in the age of grace in which we live, but he also came to bring the truth and to speak the truth, because Jesus is truth, right? John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus Christ came to die. He came as the king to offer the kingdom to Israel, and he came to bear witness unto the truth. And then what a question Pilate asked. The question that the world is asking every day, isn't it? What is truth? What is truth? And they're looking for it everywhere, on the internet, wherever they can look. Where's truth? What is truth? And this has been what the world's been asking since the Garden of Eden. When the devil said, Yea, hath God said? Is there absolute truth? Is there something that we can turn to and say, this is the truth? The world doesn't believe there is. Of course, we know there is. Our Creator wrote it down for us. Amen. He is true. He is the truth. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. In Romans 3:4. But the world says, no, truth is relative. Truth is based on majority opinion. That's truth, whatever the majority thinks, or it's based on tradition, or it's based on my experiences, or it's based on what I feel is the truth, my feelings. And as we know, none of those things are true. But this is not new. I mean, even look at the book of Judges, Israel's darkest time. It said, what? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Relative truth. God had already told them what was true and what was right and given them the commandments, and they instead did what they thought was true. Just like today. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, we're told in Proverbs 14:25. So Jesus came to give us truth. Hallelujah. And we're holding it in our hands. And we can turn to it and say, that is truth. We have absolute truth. We have the final authority. Sadly, the world doesn't know this, but we can tell them. So Jesus came to die Jesus came to be the king of Israel and to offer the kingdom to Israel. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth, which Pilate didn't understand, of course. And then lastly, verse 38, it says, "And when he had said this," this is Pilate, "he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all." Well, how could you? He was perfect. He was sinless. But what we find here is Jesus also came to be that example of perfection. And that example of being a servant. You'll see how he responds all through these trials. He never fights back. And remember when they first got into the upper room, we'll turn there, John 13, verse 15. When they first got into the upper room, before Jesus began to give them all these great teachings about his return and about the Holy Spirit and all these other things, the first thing he did is what? Wash the disciples' feet. And after he had washed their feet, verse 15 of John 13, he said, "I've given you an example. I'm teaching you how to live the Christian life. Live it as a servant." Amen? And then he spent 3 years with the 12 teaching them how to be a servant. Teaching them, preparing them for his departure. But Jesus came to be our example. And the Bible says we should walk as he walked in 1 John 2:6. We should follow his example and live our lives the way he lived his life. As a servant and staying away from sin and loving others and so forth. So isn't this beautiful how Christ is revealing here, here toward the end, this is why I came. To this end was I born. I was born to die for man's sins. I was born as a king to offer the kingdom to Israel initially. I was born to bear witness unto the truth because I am truth. And I was born to be this example of perfection, of servanthood. As he says in Matthew 11, "I am meek and lowly in heart. I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me." We're to follow his example. So to this end was Jesus born. Of course, as we all know, praise God, he came to die for us. But he also came for these other reasons, to offer the kingdom to Israel as their king, to be that sinless, perfect example, and to give us this. Praise the Lord. Give us his truth. So, hallelujah.